As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
You got to hear this video of her fawning over Luigi Mangione. Luigi Mangione is the psycho who brutally murdered, executed in cold blood, the UnitedHealthcare CEO. The way that this Washington Post, quote unquote, journalist went on about him, gushing and loving on him. It's gross. It's really disgusting. And it's just there's no other words for it than this. Just purely pathetic of her to sit there and obsess about this guy in this manner. Like he's so brave for brutally murdering and executing somebody. But there is in this country right now an assassination culture that exists. And you know, it leads nutbags to throw Molotov cocktails at the governor's mansion in Harrisburg. And how that this happens with the Pennsylvania State Police protecting the governor and his family and the property is absolutely amazing. But nevertheless, here we are. But you notice, though, everybody's trying to claim this guy is the other side. This lunatic is like, well, you know, he said this and he said that, and they're trying to highlight which political side of the spectrum he's on. I knew that he was not MAGA, and I realized that he's also not sane. He's a lunatic. There's no other way to describe this guy. But it doesn't seem to be that he's motivated by any anti-Semitism, because that's what I initially thought. That I thought maybe this guy was some sort of pro-Hamas lunatic, because it was Passover and the governor's Jewish, and obviously he was not picked for vice president because he's Jewish. It doesn't appear so. It just appears that this guy is just a whack job. But you know, whack jobs. They're having their moment, because they're seeing a culture that rewards and glorifies people that are insane. I mean, there's no other way to put it. What I mean by that is when you hear Taylor Lorenz going on, or any of these other people going on about Luigi Mangione, and they give this guy hero status when you've got comedians defending him, all it takes is some desperate person to think that this is the answer to their prayers and what they're looking for, which is some attention. And then they go and do something crazy because they think society is going to reward them for that. And there'll be a cause celeb. It's actually the plot of the Joker movie, the one that was with Joaquin Phoenix. It's kind of like that. This guy's a desperate loser, and he feels the love of crazy, and becomes kind of a cult hero among this. So he does more crazy things. That's what we're watching happen here, and we just don't have people condemning the Tesla violence, the Tesla domestic terrorism. You can't find a Democrat anywhere willing to condemn it. You can't. I mean, as soon as this happened to Shapiro's house, I condemned it. Everybody I know who was a conservative was condemning this. You had the Republican state chairman of Pennsylvania condemn it. You had Republican congressman condemn it. But where are these Democrats condemning when people were throwing Molotov cocktails at Tesla dealerships and throwing Molotov cocktails at Teslas and keying Teslas and drawing Nazi swastikas? You asked Chuck Schumer, you asked Nancy Pelosi, they run. In fact, Chuck Schumer openly said he wasn't going to condemn the Tesla violence. He was going to criticize Elon Musk. That was the clip from last week. He goes, I'm not going to say anything about Tesla, but that Elon Musk is a bad guy. So, and years of calling Trump Hitler, and then you get an assassin almost blows his head off in Butler because that guy probably thinks he's stopping the next Hitler. If you don't have a society that condemns violence, if you don't have a society that is willing to come out and say, this is morally repugnant, executing a CEO of a healthcare company is not courageous, it's not heroic, it's barbaric. It is something that society should condemn. Luigi Mangione should not be praised as a heartthrob. If you don't have a society willing to do those things, I got news for you. You're going to have more and more people who are doing things looking for attention. Yeah, you have the Schumer clip, Matt. Thank you. This is what Chuck Schumer said. So a reporter tried to confront him as he was going in the elevator about all the violence against Tesla. And he's the Senate minority leader. Why he can't condemn this, why he can't say, no, this is wrong. I took to Twitter right away yesterday, or X, to say that I was glad Governor Shapiro and his family were safe. Praise the first responders. Absolutely. Why can't that work on both sides? This is what I don't understand. Why I have no problem doing that. I'm glad the governor's okay. I may disagree with Josh Shapiro politically on a lot of things, and I may think Josh Shapiro is turning into a coward because Josh Shapiro has national ambitions, and I see this happen. I don't want the guy to die. I don't want his family to die. I don't want his house to burn to the ground. It's ridiculous. But you have American businesses, Tesla dealerships, you have Tesla owners who are being vandalized, harassed, intimidated. Their stores are being burned to the ground. Where are Democrats condemning this? If you have a culture that is unwilling to condemn violence because they kind of wink, wink, nod, nod, approve of the violence because it meets their political objectives, you're going to get more of it. You will get more of it. I don't know what else to tell you, but that's the case. That's how humanity works. There are people who are crazy, who love attention. They thrive off of the attention. So if you're willing to give it to them, they'll do crazy things to get it. That's how desperate these people are. You're not playing with a full deck. If you're throwing Molotov cocktails at the governor of Pennsylvania's house, you're not playing with a full deck. I'm sorry, but you're not. You're a nutbag. So nutbags crave what? They crave attention. They crave admiration. There's a loneliness and a desperation here. They got a screw loose. And they live in a society now where they can instantly become famous. I'm not going to say the guy's name on the show today. If he had succeeded in murdering him, I don't know, maybe Taylor Lorenz would have, as Jimmy Fallon put it, because I don't want to steal his joke, like other people do, not mentioning names, other people steal his jokes, and mine too, just saying. But as he said it, if this guy keeps it up, Taylor Lorenz would want to date him. So this is what Schumer said last week when he was asked about Tesla. Go ahead.
Senator, what's your opinion of the violence against Tesla, their products? What are your thoughts on that? Do you denounce the violence against Tesla products and dealerships and cars in the streets?
I can't talk about Tesla, but Elon Musk is a disaster for America, and America knows it. Look at Wisconsin.
Why can't you talk about Tesla? Why can't you say it's wrong for people to throw Molotov cocktails at Tesla dealerships? It's wrong of people to set cars on fire. It's wrong of people to destroy property in the name of their political objectives. Why can't you say that? You're the Senate minority leader. You're a senator. You're one of 100. You can't say that? Honestly, I mean you can't talk about it. You can't talk about it? You can't say it's wrong? I mean, come on, man. Seriously. Are you that blinded by your partisanship that you can't say that that's wrong? I mean, I commend every Republican who came out and put out a statement last night saying they're glad Governor Shapiro's safe, myself included, because it's wrong to throw Molotov cocktails at the governor's mansion. Like, imagine that. Imagine if they'd asked me about that. And I was like, I can't talk about the Molotov cocktails thrown at the governor's mansion. But I can tell you this. Josh Shapiro's wrong on school choice. Be like, what? You can't, but I can't talk about the Molotov cocktails thrown at his house. Think about that. Think if I had said that. Think if a Republican had said that. What can you say about the Molotov cocktails thrown at the governor's mansion? I can't talk about that, but I can tell you Shapiro's wrong when he comes out there and he says Trump's wrong on tariffs. Like, what? Condemn political violence. It's not that complicated. Do we really need to be saying this? But it's not just Chuck Schumer. They asked AOC. She ran for the Hill. She wouldn't comment on it either. They asked the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi. She's like, she just growled. It literally just growled. I think the answer was just a growl. Like, if you were to do a transcript of it, it just comes across growl. There's not even words. Speaker Emeritus Pelosi, would you like to say anything about the test of violence? What do you think about the test of violence? Is that English? No, it's growling. Literally growling. And then you have this nutbag, Taylor Lorenz. Do we have this one ready, Justin?
Yeah, we have the audio.
All right. Give me a favor. Let's. Can you just load that video up for me real quick?
Yeah.
If you could. And then just give me a talk down the line when you got it. And I'll set this up. Because you got to see this. If you're streaming on our YouTube chat, you got to see how giddy and joyful this hideous human being is. You know, I don't care. I will have political disagreements with people. I think it's healthy. I actually do. I think political disagreements are healthy. This nation has always had political disagreements. But we've progressed. We've matured since the days of having duels, political duels in the streets. Maybe we should go back to that. I don't know. Maybe politicians should shoot it out. I'm fine with that. Like, if they want to fight each other and kill each other, that's fine. But the average person going out there and killing a civilian because you don't like the fact that they're cutting back on the amount of money that they're going to reimburse anesthesia, that doesn't justify murder. If you disagree with the governor's policies, and if you don't like the fact that whatever Josh Shapiro is doing, it didn't justify you burning his house down. If you don't like Donald Trump, it doesn't justify you blowing his head off. The fact that I have to say this is insane. So here is Taylor Lorenz, who's a hideous, deplorable human being. I mean, you want to talk deplorable? This is it.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah, there was a Bucks. Oh, sorry. One second, Justin. There was a Bucks County man who was arrested last week for threatening to kill Trump and Elon Musk. Yeah, thank you, Matt. On his YouTube page, the guy stated, eventually I'm going to do a mass shooting. And he added that he's been buying one gun a month since the election, body armor and ammo. And then this was the threat he said. He said, quote, now we just need to start killing people, Trump and Elon and all the heads of agencies that Trump appointed and anyone who stands in the way. Remember, we are the majority. MAGA is a minority in this country. And by the time it's time to make the move, they will be weakened. Many will be crushed by these policies and they will want revenge, too. American Revolution 2.0. I'm going to assassinate him myself. This threat was made in a YouTube video titled Live, Trump's Address to Congress. ICE are terrorist people. We need to start killing them, the guy said. If I see an armed ICE agent, I will consider a domestic terrorist and an active shooter and open fire on them. You also have nutbags in this country who are swatting people, like our friend Sean Farish, who you frequently see on Kale and Company in the mornings. He does a great Trump impression. He's a great guy. Very fond of Sean Farish. They swatted Sean Farish, our buddy Joe Pags. They swatted Joe Pags, too. There's a lot of conservative influencers. These lunatics call 911, and then they have the police go to their house, armed, heavily armed cops surrounding the property with guns drawn. And they're hoping... These people that call 911, I think are hoping that one of these conservative MAGA people are going to come out with a gun because they think there's an intruder and they're going to get blown away by the cops. That's what I think these lunatics think, and they should be charged with attempted murder. But yet, at the same time that all this is happening, the funny thing about this is I go back to after Butler when I was on Fox News at the prime time of 4 a.m., the new prime time, 4 a.m., 3:50 a.m., actually, to be precise. And I was asked by the fill-in host, don't you think both sides need to turn down the rhetoric? And I said, no, I don't, because it's not both sides. It's not both sides are not going out there and engaging in political violence. They're just not. Hey, my side, our side, we're not. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone and let me live my life. But sadly, there's too many people on our side who are afraid to acknowledge where they stand politically because of how many crazy people are out there on the left. It's true. I know somebody who owns a business. And I went in there and I've been shopping there for a long time. He didn't know who I was by looking at my face. because he was trying to avoid looking at my face. I don't blame him. Would you want to see my face? No, obviously not. But then when I special ordered something, he realized who I was. And he said to me, pulled me aside. He's like, love your show. Big fan of your show. Can't really say that, though, you know? I said, I totally get it. I understand. I get it. It's a shame. Feds arrest a man in New Mexico. Attacks on Tesla and Republican headquarters. Who's doing this stuff? Who's doing this? And this guy, this lunatic in Harrisburg, yeah, he may have criticized Trump. He may have criticized Shapiro. But I tell you what, we're living in an age right now where he gets rewarded for it because of the refusal by people in the Democrat Party to condemn stuff like this, where a guy is attacking Tesla. And they dance around it. They dance around this kind of stuff. When Trump was assassinated, you had celebrities would go on stage and make comments like, next time, don't miss. Next time, don't miss. So I'm sorry, but I think it's very obvious two things. One is that there is one political side in this country who washes themselves in this very, very, very tense political talk that is not just fierce political debate. It's advocating stopping Hitler, the Third Reich, the rise of Nazism, et cetera, which motivates crazy people to think that they're some sort of hero by stopping Hitler. And number two, it's a party that does not condemn violence when it's political violence that they like, or they'll call it mostly peaceful protests, like we saw during the Summer of Love. They'll be fascinated and fixated on January the 6th. But when it came to the Summer of Love and you had billions and billions of dollars of property damage, you'd have idiots on TV, newscasters standing in front of burning buildings, buildings burning behind them, and they turn around and go, well, it's mostly peaceful protests that are happening right now. Mostly peaceful. It's like a freaking Burger King on fire behind them. So this both sides game, I don't want to hear it. It's not both sides. It's not. We were told, though, for years when Merrick Garland was the attorney general, we were told by the Biden administration that we had to be careful about all these MAGA domestic violent extremists. You know, all these people shopping at Cabela's and getting their fishing hats and all these moms in yoga pants at school board meetings and all these Catholics praying in mass in Latin. That's a bunch of BS. The truth is that there are fanatics on the left who engage in political violence. That's the truth. And if you can't condemn violence against Tesla, then when a whack job throws a Molotov cocktail at the governor's mansion, then you understand you've set a precedent in this country for political violence to be okay because you're not willing to condemn it. So shame on you for that. I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm saying that this is that you create a culture and people respond to what culture allows. If a culture allows something or if they can reap rewards from it and they're desperate and they're pathetic, then they will seek those rewards. So here's that hideous human being, Taylor Lorenz. Take a listen.
Hilarious to see these millionaire media pundits on TV clutching their pearls about someone standing a murderer when this is the United States of America, as if we don't lionize criminals, as if we don't have, you know, we don't stand murderers of all sorts, and we give them Netflix shows. There's a huge disconnect between the narratives and angles that sort of mainstream media pushes and what the American public feels. And you see that in moments like this. And I can tell you, I saw the biggest audience growth that I've ever seen because people were like, oh, somebody, some journalist is actually speaking to the anger that we feel.
The women who got her outside court in New York.
So you're going to see women especially that feel like, oh, my God, right? Like, here's this man who's a revolutionary, who's famous, who's handsome, who's young, who's smart. He's a person that seems this like this morally good man, which is hard to find.
Yeah, I just realized women will literally date an assassin before they swipe right on me. That's where we are. I'm sure you wouldn't like to be compared to a Trump supporter, but some of how...
Now, let's pause it right there for a second. So she just said how courageous, so going on about how handsome he is and courageous and brave and moral. This man murdered of a husband and a father. We keep hearing about this Maryland man, this father who was deported. This man was a father. This guy, Luigi Mangione, executed him in cold blood on the streets of New York City. We hear about what a charming guy he is. Women would love to date a guy like this. And Taylor Lorenz is a young, attractive woman going on about that. This is what I mean. It's disgusting. It's beyond repulsive that we live in a society that would say that is in some ways admirable. Really, And I understand her point about, well, we, this is America, we talk about murderers. Yeah, but nutbags do that. Nutbags wind up glorifying murderers and assassins and serial killers. Not normal people. Normal people think these people are deranged. So, you know, I'm glad the police have this guy who tried to burn down the governor's mansion. It's a good thing they got him. I'm glad they did. I'm happy to condemn this. Everybody should condemn this. The president just condemned it. The fact that we can't have people on the left condemn violence against Tesla dealerships, American car dealerships, and American cars and car owners is it shows you how low we've fallen as a society. And it's a tacit wink-wink to them to keep doing it. It's a tacit wink-wink to do it. Like, if I didn't condemn the attempt to burn down the governor's mansion, if I refused to do it, not that I said it was okay, but if I refused, if they asked me a question, like, hey, Rich, you're a popular, incredibly popular, widely heard, conservative-leaning talk show host. Some say libertarian-minded. Quite handsome, easy on the eyes. Do you condemn the guy who attempted to burn down the governor's mansion? And I said, I can't talk about that. But I want to tell you about Josh Shapiro's, why he's wrong on abandoning school choice. That would be a tacit, I'm kind of glad that the guy did it. And that would be morally repugnant. And that's what Chuck Schumer did in that elevator. That's what Chuck Schumer did. I'm not going to talk about Tesla. I'm not going to talk about them throwing Molotov cocktails at the governor's mansion. You're not? So let's understand here, the game the left is playing is a wink, wink, nod, nod to all this violence that's happening. Like, you know, you guys are on the right side of history on this one. And shameful. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. If you want to weigh in, this is going to be a good show for you today. Every show is a good show for you today. But I started off today being on America's Newsroom with Dana Perino, Bill Hemmer. And there's... oh, Jimmy Failla was on the panel, too. That's right. We had a great time talking about that. So we're going to talk about all those things with you. But I want to tell you about Natural Lawn of America, my lawn care company. And I want to tell you why you should choose them. They were just here working on my lawn a little while ago, going around using their organic fertilizer on my lawn. And I'm so happy about the fact that I use Natural Lawn of America. When choosing a lawn care service, it makes sense to hire a company that provides better results and is safer for your family and pets. And at Natural Lawn of America, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Don't take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn, safer services, and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today and get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn of America, 1-800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Choose my lawn care company, the locally owned and family operated Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are off to the races here. Glad you're here today with us. Welcome back to the show. 855-839-1210. The president says that Vietnam and China are meeting to screw the United States of America. We'll talk about that as the show progresses as well. The president had no problem condemning the attack on Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. And this is what the president said earlier today in the White House. So a lot came out of this meeting with the... Matt, I think you're open. Your mic's open. There you go. This is cut number one. This is the president right now talking. He mentioned earlier today in the Oval Office what happened with the governor. Cut one.
Have you attributed a motive through the FBI investigation behind the attack on Governor Josh Shapiro over the weekend?
No, I haven't. But the attacker was not a fan of Trump. I understand, just from what I read and from what I've been told, the attacker basically wasn't a fan of anybody. It's probably just a whack job. And certainly a thing like that cannot be allowed to happen.
Correct. And we should wait until we get all the details before making any, you know, it's my policy. My policy is I'd rather be last and right than first and wrong on all these things. So here's what we know about this lunatic. A Harrisburg man said he was harboring a hatred. This is from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. A hatred toward Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro when he walked an hour from his home to the governor's mansion, broke into the property, and tossed several incendiary devices that caught the home on fire while the governor, his wife, and guests were inside early Sunday morning, causing significant damage hours after the family had celebrated the beginning of Passover. Now, I'm only going to say the guy's name one time because I don't want to give this guy credit, but I'm just going to say it once so you know the name of the person. Cody Ballmer, 38 years old, turned himself into police Sunday afternoon. He's charged with attempted homicide, arson, and terrorism, among other related offenses. His ex had called police to say that he was a suspect and that he had admitted to her that he set the fire and wanted to turn himself in. He told police he scaled the fence, evading the governor's security detail along the perimeter of the governor's residence. He broke a window on the piano room side of the home with a hammer and throwing one of his homemade incendiary devices, Heineken beer bottles filled with gasoline, threw it inside the home. Officials said he was in the building for less than a minute and escaped back over the fence even as state police were searching the grounds for him. When police asked what he would have done if he encountered the governor inside the home, the lunatic nutbag said he would have beaten him with his hammer, according to the complaint. He's being held in Dauphin County Prison. Now, more details are going to come out about him, probably before the show's out today. So we'll learn more about him. It seems to be that he's a nutbag. It seems to be that he's just got a major, major screw loose here. But we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure. And I always like to wait on these things before I know all the details. That's my policy in life. And for the most part, it has served me well in terms of not being wrong on things. Because like I said, there's many people out there who just feel such a need to run out there all the time and be right. But what I keep telling you all the time is that you have to be, or run out there to be first, but you got to be right about these things. It's very important to me. Credibility is everything in life. Here is a clip of the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro. Where's this one, Matt? I know we have like 492 cuts today.
10.
All right, cut number 10. This is the governor from a press conference that he gave. Take a listen.
And I'm pleased to announce that we do have an individual in custody. His name is Cody Ballmer, B-A-L-M-E-R, age 38. With a Harrisburg post office address. This type of violence is not okay. This kind of violence is becoming far too common in our society. And I don't give a damn if it's coming from one particular side or the other, directed at one particular party or another, or one particular person or another. It is not okay. And it has to stop. We have to be better than this. We have a responsibility to all be better.
All right. So there you go. And we'll see as more details come out about this lunatic as the show goes on. All right, President had a lot of other things to say today in the Oval Office with the president of El Salvador. And he refuses now to send the guy, the MS-13 gang member, back to the United States from El Salvador. So there's a lot of confusion out there about what the Supreme Court has ruled. And just so you know where this whole thing stands, I'm going to make this very easy to understand. The Supreme Court kicked it back down to the lower court. There's going to be a hearing on this tomorrow. Most likely the judge in that case is going to say that the administration needs to bring this man back to the United States of America. In which case, then the president, his lawyers, and the Department of Justice are going to appeal to the Supreme Court. At that point, the Supreme Court is going to have to make a final determination on this, whether or not it wants this man returned to U.S. soil in the court's eyes, whether or not they have legal justification to order this man returned to the United States of America. And then at that point, the president then, because he said in Air Force One, he has great respect for the Supreme Court, will comply. But it's important to note that what the Supreme Court did here was very complicated, because they didn't just flat out come out and say this man needs to be returned to the United States. They sent it back to the lower court, and they've caused all kinds of confusion here. And so at this moment in time right now, this man is in a prison in El Salvador. Now, here's the rub. The president of El Salvador is not obligated to follow the Supreme Court, and he doesn't want to send this guy back. So this guy is stuck in this prison. This is the Maryland guy that they deported. This guy is probably stuck in this prison for quite some time, and I don't know how long it's going to be. This is what he said today in the meeting with the president. This is the president of El Salvador. This is cut number two.
Can President Bukele weigh in on this? Do you plan to return him?
Well, I'm supposed you're not suggesting that I smuggle a terrorist into the United States, right?
It's only
how can I return him to the United States? Like, I smuggle him into the United States, or whether it is, of course, I'm not going to do it. It's like, the question is preposterous. How can I smuggle a terrorist into the United States? I don't have the power to return him to the United States.
But you can release him inside El Salvador.
Yeah, but I'm not releasing. I mean, we're not very fond of releasing terrorists into our country. I mean, we just turned the murder capital of the world into the safest country in the Western Hemisphere, and you want us to go back into the releasing criminals so we can go back to being the murder capital of the world? No, that's not going to happen.
They'd love to have a criminal, released.
Yeah, I mean, there's a fascination.
They would love it. These are sick people.
So that's what the president of El Salvador is saying. Like, I'm not going to send this guy back, and I can't just let a terrorist roam on my streets in my country. This is not over yet. Just so you know, it's not over yet because of the fact that the Supreme Court needs to finally weigh in on this. But it's a little more complicated than the media is letting on in terms of the Supreme Court saying that the administration needs to facilitate his return to the United States. So here's Pam Bondi and Stephen Miller with the media, the gaggle in the Oval Office today. This is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. He is my dentist. He's my family's dentist as well. And he is the master of implant dentistry, named the top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. Schedule your free implant consultation today, 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020. Here is Pam Bondi and Stephen Miller. It's a little bit of a longer cut, okay? But it's important to understand how they're viewing this from the perspective of what the Supreme Court has ordered here vis-a-vis what the lower court has said, where it is now back in the lower court. Okay? This is cut number three.
Let's hear the question from this very low-rated anchor at CBS.
Thank you, President. Do you plan to ask President Bukele to help return the man who your administration says was mistakenly deported? The man who was mistakenly deported to El Salvador?
Well, let me ask Pam, would you answer that question?
Sure, President. First and foremost, he was illegally in our country. He had been illegally in our country. And in 2019, two courts, an immigration court and an appellate immigration court, ruled that he was a member of MS-13 and he was illegally in our country. Right now, additional paperwork had needed to be done. That's up to El Salvador if they want to return him. That's not up to us. The Supreme Court ruled, President, that if, as El Salvador wants to return him, this is international matters, foreign affairs. If they wanted to return him, we would facilitate it, meaning provide a plane.
So will you return him?
And you are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Can you just also respond to that question? Because, it's asked by CNN, and they always ask it with a slant, because they're totally slanting because they don't know what's happening. That's why nobody's watching them. But would you answer that question also, please?
Yes, gladly. So, as Pam mentioned, there's an illegal alien from El Salvador. So, with respect to you, he's a citizen of El Salvador. So, it's very arrogant even for American media to suggest that we would even tell El Salvador how to handle their own citizens as a starting point. As two immigration courts found that he was a member of MS-13. When President Trump declared MS-13 to be a foreign terrorist organization, that meant that he was no longer eligible under federal law, which I'm sure you know, you're very familiar with the INA, that he was no longer eligible for any form of immigration relief in the United States. So he had a deportation order that was valid, which meant that under our law, he's not even allowed to be present in the United States and had to be returned because of the foreign terrorist designation. This issue was then, by a district court judge, completely inverted, and a district court judge tried to tell the administration that they had to kidnap a citizen of El Salvador and fly him back here. That issue was raised to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said the district court order was unlawful, and its main components were reversed 9-0 unanimously, stating clearly that neither Secretary of State nor the President could be compelled by anybody to forcibly retrieve a citizen of El Salvador from El Salvador, who, again, is a member of MS-13, which, as I'm sure you understand, rapes little girls, murders women, murders children, is engaged in the most barbaric activities in the world. And I can promise you, if he was your neighbor, you would move right away.
So you don't plan
but
to ask
Supreme
for
Court's
to get
asking
back.
To. And that, what was the ruling that, in the Supreme Court, Steve? Was it 9-0?
Yes, right. So it was a 9-0.
In our favor.
In our favor, against the district court ruling, saying that no district court has the power to compel the foreign policy function of the United States. As Pam said, the ruling solely stated that if this individual, at El Salvador's sole discretion, was sent back to our country, that we could deport him a second time.
Well,
no version of this legally ends up with him ever living here because he is a citizen of El Salvador. That is the president of El Salvador. Your questions about it per the court can only be directed to him.
Okay. This isn't over yet, and they're going to have this conversation in court tomorrow when the lower court hears this case. Now, my prediction is that the lower court judge is going to order him sent back to the United States of America. Now, how you can a court could compel a foreign country to send somebody back to the United States of America is beyond anyone's comprehension here. So you see, what the administration has done is they've kind of put the court into a checkmate position here because they can't compel. The court has no jurisdiction in El Salvador, obviously. The court can't order the United States of America to invade a foreign country. The court can't compel the United States of America to make a deal to get him back. The court can't compel the president of the United States to send in SEAL Team 6 to go get this guy out of jail, like to bust him out of jail and bring him back to U.S. soil. The court can't do any of those things. So it's kind of a, at this point, it's kind of a moot point. He's in the jail. The president of El Salvador is smart enough to know that the president of the United States wants to keep this guy in that jail. So he's not going to let him out. And he's not going to facilitate the return. So that would mean that the United States of America then would have to find a way to break into this prison or make a deal with the president of El Salvador to get him back. But if the president doesn't want to make a deal with El Salvador to get his release, the court can't compel him to do so. So I don't really know what the court can do here. Not much. Doesn't seem like it. I think this guy's up a creek without a paddle if you catch my drift. Because really, I mean, once he's off U.S. soil in another country's jail, if that country doesn't want to send him back to the United States, and if the United States doesn't want him back, and the guy doesn't want to send him back because he would rather make President Trump happy, obviously, than not happy, because he's a smart guy. So what can – and then this is where the Supreme Court should rule that – it can't compel a foreign country to return a United States citizen. It could ask them, the court could ask, but it can't compel because it doesn't have jurisdiction in El Salvador. And it can't force the administration to do something with another foreign country. Like you can't force the president to say, invade El Salvador to get this man back. That would just be freaking insane, obviously. Okay, so there's more news coming out about the suspect in Josh Shapiro's attempted murder, assassination, burning down his house. This guy is a lunatic, and he obviously had faced domestic violence charges in the past, financial and legal turmoil. None of that should surprise you. Even a suicide attempt. And there's a lot of other things coming out about this guy as well. So we'll talk about all that as the show continues today. We'll also find out some of the craziest outbursts from the media. Our buddy Bill DiAgostino is going to join us from the News Media Research Center and newsbusters.org. I want to tell you, though, about Dr. Mike Veneria. Great guy, great friend, the master of dental implants. The year's flying by. It's almost April. You know, before you know it, we're getting into graduation season and wedding season and all those great family pictures you're going to want. How's your smile doing? You want to make sure you have a beautiful smile for all those upcoming family memories. So make an appointment to see Dr. Mike Veneria today. VeneriaDental.com. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, Dr. Mike is the man you want to see. Reach out to him today by calling 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or visit VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. You'll see firsthand why for over 10 years, 10 consecutive years, people have recognized Dr. Mike as a master of implant dentistry, a master of complicated dental work. And you'll see firsthand when it comes to your smile how great he is. So make your appointment today for a free implant consultation and go see a dentist. It's good for you. It's good for your overall health as well. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
On this Monday, as we begin a new week, the mother of the guy charged here in attacking the governor's mansion said to CBS News that he is mentally ill. She said that her son is mentally ill and he went off his medication. She said she tried to get her son picked up last week and reached out to four different police departments but couldn't get anybody to help. So he was mentally ill, went off his meds, and this is what happened, she said. That's her quote. State police said crews from the Harrisburg Bureau of Fire went to the governor's residence on North Front Street in Dauphin County around 2 a.m. Sunday for report of a fire. Shapiro said that he and his family were asleep at the home when the fire broke out. And obviously it was the first night of Passover, but it appears this guy just has a gigantic screw loose as opposed to it being behind some organized effort or something like that. So who is this guy? History of domestic abuse, suicide attempt, on his medication. I mean, for years on various kinds of medication. A security review is currently underway to find out how he was able to enter and then exit the property after allegedly setting the fire. One of the officials said, that's all part of the ongoing investigation. In terms of the layout, I will tell you that he clearly had a plan. He was very methodical in his approach and moved through it without a lot of hurry. Again, in a very methodical planned manner and carried it out, although in a very short period of time. He served as a construction equipment repairer in the Army Reserve from April of 2004 to June 2012 with no deployments. And he was a sergeant when he left the Army, according to the spokesperson there. And he had criticized Trump. He had criticized Biden. He hated the governor, apparently, and all these other things as well. Had been arrested in the past for domestic violence, had been arrested in the past for assault, and had also apparently attempted suicide at one point as well. He faced financial and legal turmoil, so very, very disturbed man as well. The man charged with setting fire to Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro's residence Sunday was an auto mechanic who faced personal and financial turmoil in recent years, including allegations that he assaulted his wife and young children amid a suicide attempt. So more will come out about him, obviously, as the show goes on today. But during the interview with police, he admitted everything. So, I mean, it's not a question of whether or not he did it or not. I mean, he's admitting that he did it. And he will obviously, in June of 2023, he sued his wife over custody of two other children, not the sons he was alleged to have assaulted. And a judge ordered them to share custody of the children. He was sued by a mortgage company in December of 2022 seeking to foreclose on a house he owned in Harrisburg. The company won a default judgment against him, and as of June 2024, he owed the mortgage company around $117,000. A sheriff's sale was set, but his attorney filed a motion to postpone the sale in July of 2024, writing that he had found a buyer. Defendant had fallen behind on his mortgage due to several hardship factors, including injuries from an auto accident leading to his inability to work and maintain an income and a separation from his wife. He sold the property in September of 2024. According to county property records, the case was dismissed in January of 2025. He was also charged in multiple cases in 2024 and in February this year with driving a vehicle while his operating privilege was suspended or revoked and operating a vehicle without a valid inspection. He pleaded guilty in two of the cases and was fined, with the most recent case appearing to be still open. Had a history of criticizing both sides of the political aisle. And, you know, the media is trying to spin this that he was criticizing just Joe Biden and Biden supporters, but that's not true. He was going on about everybody, apparently. So clearly nuts, very, very disturbed, mentally ill man. And more details will be coming out, I'm sure, as the show goes on today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Bernie Sanders and AOC teaming up at Coachella. Is this the team that the Democrats want for 2028? No way, no how. See, as I said this morning on Fox News, shameless plug, Democrats would rather lose with somebody they can control than win with somebody they can't. Let me say that again. Democrats would rather lose with somebody they can control rather than win with somebody they can't. And they can't control Bernie Sanders, and they probably can't control Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez either. But they're drawing crowds. So what does this all mean? Well, it means nothing, because Bernie was drawing crowds back in 2016, and the Democrat establishment shut him down because they didn't want him to become the nominee. It will go nowhere. But I'll give you more details on this. A lot of Bernie in the cut sheet today. And Bill Maher had dinner with Trump and found him to not be the monster caricature that everybody, including himself, portrayed him out to be. Amazing. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.